Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your day, and it is Wednesday, and I thank you for tuning in here today. You're tuning into God's frequency today. We're going to where God is speaking. God always has a word for you, and he's always broadcasting. All you need to do is tune into his frequency. That's what you've done. I'm grateful for it. We're going to let God speak today through his word. We are coming out of, well, this is part two of this message, So You're an Agnostic. Actually, my mind was thinking of tomorrow's program, and that is what I just preached on Sunday, and that is no one can buy or sell. But that'll be tomorrow's program. That'll be Wednesday and Thursday. You're listening today to Tuesday's program. This is the second part of this message, So You're an Agnostic. I hear it time and time again. People proudly call themselves an agnostic. And if you look at the word, really, the word gnosis means knowledge. And if you put an A in front of that or an A in front of anything, if you don't have any knowledge or any smarts, I would say agnostic, really, if you want to be technical, means stupid. Stupid. Who am I? What am I? Well, I'm an agnostic. Friend, sometimes you need to find out what something means before you call yourself that. I mean, imagine wearing a t-shirt that says, I'm with stupid. And then you got a thumb or a finger pointing up to yourself. See, if you knew what that meant, you wouldn't call yourself that. There's no such thing as an agnostic. When we're done with you, at least on this sermon here, you won't be an agnostic anymore. You will either be a believer or you will be someone that refuses to bow the knee to the Son of God and call him Lord, but not an agnostic, because there's more proof here in this sermon from what we heard yesterday and today for you not to call yourself an agnostic anymore. So if you'd like a copy of this, you can find it at WGODradio.com. You'll see it up there, So You're an Agnostic. You can go to my Facebook page. You'll find it on there as well, WGOD Radio. The app will be out within a week or two, same name. Also, the church website is islandcommunitychurch.net. That app is out now, and I encourage you to download that, Island Community Church FL for Florida. Our Sunday services are up there live or afterwards they're posted. The audio is up there. From each week, you can give on there and help support the ministry on there if you'd like. That's, again, Island Community Church FL. That's where you'll find our brand new app. Now, here's part two of this message, So You're an Agnostic.
Well, how about this? Now, you're talking to an agnostic here. How about this? Esposito's Book of Prophecy. What would you do if I had a book that said this? A king from Virginia will arise, and he'll be the first king of a new nation. He'll be the general of an army. And then my book continues. And 15 kings later, another king will arise from Kentucky, and he will set the captives free and die before his time. He will die in a booth, by a booth. Now, if you read that, which was guaranteed written 700 years before it happened, would my book now have your attention? If it wouldn't, then you are being intellectually dishonest. And you're not an agnostic, at least not an, as you use the word. No, you're not skeptic. I'll say you are a true agnostic, and that would be stupid. Stupid enough to end up in hell because you're ticked off that God loves you. Let's clear the smoke here, friends. You're ticked off that God loves you, so you're going to go to hell. Don't tell me that book wouldn't interest you. if that was written 700 years before it happened. I don't believe you. You're being dishonest to me. The real thing is you refuse to bow the knee and call Jesus Christ Lord. You're not an agnostic. You don't want to give up your sin. No, you're not an agnostic. You're not like these three on the road to Emmaus. So did you know that God's word is explicitly clear as my imaginary but true book was? Except his book is real. Meaning, he is God, you are a sinner, the wages of sin is death, and you need help, and you need it fast. Friend, you're a sinner, and you could die tomorrow. People die all the time. How many here has ever known anyone that's died? Now, back to the subject of prophecy. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but others are, and they've run the numbers. And my numbers have been corrected since speaking of this in the past. So let's talk about numbers. Simple, secular numbers. That is, the odds of one person, any one person, fulfilling the description of something explicitly written about them before the fact. That's prophecy. Now remember, the odds would grow exponentially after two. For instance, the odds, all right, not religion. We're not talking about religion. We're talking odds. You know, Jimmy the Greek, Las Vegas, point spreads, over-unders, gambling, sports, odds. We're not even talking religion. We're talking numbers here. Money line. The odds of fulfilling three prophecies is equivalent of hitting the pick six lotto every Saturday night from your 18th birthday till your 85th birthday. Every Saturday night. You get in that little, what is it? Is it yellow? That last ball that comes up? What's it called again? That crazy thing worth $1 billion every week? Powerball. I think the ball's yellow. That's every week of your life. From 18 to 85, you getting all five and getting that yellow number every week as long as you live from 18 to 85. That's the odds of one person fulfilling three things written about them before it happens. And you're an agnostic. Have I got your attention now? Let me take you on a short trek through the Word of God. And let me share with you that indeed there is a God and that he sent his son into this world to redeem you back to him for the sole purpose of this. Now, before I go further, let me anticipate a possible objection. These are some objections you would run into as you're doing this. Perhaps you would say that Christians after the fact have gone in and altered the word of God so that it would seem that Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies. Sorry, but that argument doesn't cut it. You see, the Old Testament, the Greek Old Testament, known as the Septuagint, was translated into Greek in 250 BC. The translation is a known fact regarding its existence and what it contains. Copies have been in the greatest known library in the world, that is in Alexandria, Egypt. Copies have been there since 200 BC. And the letter from King Philadelphus, who commanded the translation to be made because the whole world spoke Greek. And he hired 72 Jewish scholars and put them in pairs of two, 36 pairs of two. And as history has it, all 36 pairs of two came up with the same translation, locked in a room. That is the Greek Septuagint, which so intrigued me so much, I spent 5 years translating it. I've got a copy in my office. When Jesus says, out of the mouth of babes and infants, you've ordained strength. And that's not in my Bible. That started the ball rolling. Even Jesus quotes from it. Anyway, point is, you can't say Christians went in and changed the word because it's written down 200 years before Christ. Also, the Dead Sea Scrolls contain the Greek Old Testament. They go back to 100 years B.C. Okay, so first, let's start with something written about 700 years before Christ was born. But we got to start here. Just take some average, ordinary people. Because you're an agnostic. Let's see. Maybe David could be the Messiah. Maybe Moses. Maybe Jesus. Maybe Barack Obama's your Messiah. Maybe John the Baptist. The odds of one person doing three of these is the odds of you hitting the lottery every week of your life until you're 85. How old are you, Ron? Every week. Just three things. Remember, this is, we're not even talking about religion. We're talking about odds. Odds of one person doing these things. Let's start with Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you will come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from old, even from everlasting. So, whoever the Messiah is, he's got to come from Bethlehem. All right. He's remained unscathed, even though it was written 300 years after he died. For the sake of argument, we'll leave him there. Moses, where was he born? Sorry, Mo. Jesus, unscathed. Barack Obama, let's just say, depending on his audience, maybe he'll say he was born there. Says he's American, he might as well be born in Bethlehem. So let's say, for argument's sake, Barack Obama survives prophecy number one, and he's born in Bethlehem. Maybe he was born in a manger. I don't know. I wasn't there. John the Baptist, where was he born? The hills of Judea? Let's, for argument's sake, we'll let him stay there. We'll even throw him there. Okay. David, Barack Obama, Jesus, John the Baptist, we got 4 out of 5 that made prophecy number one. Okay. Let's narrow it down a little. You, Bethlehem, and also, Herod was told this prophecy, remember? When the Magi showed up there and said, where is he? We have come to worship, where did they say? Where does he come from? And they quoted this to him. So Herod went and killed everyone under 2 years old in Bethlehem because of this prophecy. They knew the Messiah was going to come from Bethlehem. So Herod killed everyone 2 years and younger. And you, Bethlehem, though you're few in number, out of you will come one to me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from eternity. All right, from eternity? Sorry, Dave. You didn't make cut two. Jesus? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was in the beginning. Anarche, anhologos, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him and for him. He survives cut two. Barack Obama, sorry, buddy. You ain't from the beginning. You're off my list. John the Baptist, sorry. You see what I mean about odds? We only got one person left. We've only got to two. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice, O greatly, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. How many people? This is how you'll know the Messiah, when he comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. There's three. There's three. And you've just hit the lottery every week for 70 some odd years. Matthew 21:1 is where that's fulfilled. When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples and said, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied up and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say to them, 'The Lord's got need of them.' And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" So, Mr. Agnostic, the man Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, has fulfilled all of these things in advance. Now, the odds of fulfilling eight things written about you before you were born, get this number, is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Eight things. I found this quote recently from a mathematician. He said, quote, "The scientific probability that any one person could fulfill eight specific prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power." That's 10 or 1 with 17 zeros after it. Now, here's a modern example that I've read in McDowell's book, More Than a Carpenter, Josh McDowell. He says, take the entire state of Texas, bury it 2 feet deep in silver dollars. Take a red pen and draw an X on one silver dollar. Throw that silver dollar anywhere in the state of Texas. Then take a blind man and give him one chance. One chance to find that silver dollar. The odds of you finding that one silver dollar in one chance is the odds of one person fulfilling eight things written about them before they happen. Now, here's your eight. Plus one or two thrown in for good measure. So I got a Bible here that's got 100 of them. Listen to some of these. Number one, born in Bethlehem. Number two, born of a virgin. That's a fairly big one. What do you think? Unless if you got a Revised Standard Version that changes virgin to young woman. There's probably a trillion young women that have given birth. Your Bible says young woman, throw it out. Get a new Bible. At least rip that page out. If you can stomach the rotten eggs, that's on you. No, he's born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14. A virgin will be with child, and he will call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Matthew used the word parthenos in Greek. It means virgin, not a young girl. He's born in Bethlehem. He was born of a virgin. He's going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. He's going to have his hands and his feet pierced. He's going to be crucified, David wrote, 900 years before it happened. That's four. They're going to gamble for his clothing when he dies. That's five. His face was going to be marred by torture so that you won't recognize him. Isaiah 52. That's six. They made his grave with the wicked, but the rich at his death. That's seven. A rich man named Joseph of Arimathea talked Pilate into letting him have his body. So they took him down and put him in a rich man's tomb that no one ever laid in before, reserved only for the super rich. Isaiah wrote about it 700 years before it happened. Don't tell me you're an agnostic, man. I don't believe it. That's seven. He's going to live in Egypt for a time. There's eight, right? Hosea 12:1. Out of Egypt I've called my son. His body didn't decay after death. That's nine. exponentially. Remember, I don't even know how many zeros, the odds you've got now. Think about this. His body didn't decay after death. Think about it. The Bible declares 900 years before that when the Savior comes, he would both have to die because he's going to have a body, and two, his body wouldn't decay after he died. David wrote that 990 years before Jesus Christ was born. Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost. Psalm 16, verse 9, this is how you know the Messiah. He's going to die, and his body is not going to rot in hell like everyone else. Even Peter said, David's body's right over there. You can go look at it. He's a skeleton now. Not Jesus. His body's not going to decay. That's number nine. You know, the yellow peeps and chocolate bunnies is the devil's replacement for what we celebrate. That is that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. Does that excite you? Death's got no hold over him. And while he was at it, he broke the power of death for you. So that when you die and leave this world, if you've called on the name of the Lord to be saved, absent from the body, he's present with the Lord. He's broke the power of death. When you die, you go up. You don't go down anymore. You go up. Eyes not seen, nor is ear heard, nor is entered into the hearts of men that which God has prepared for those that love him. Number 10, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. What does that mean? That means all of our sins were put on him. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The substitutionary death of the Son of God died in your place. God put all of your sins and mine on him. Which is why he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me? My God, my God." There's another one. I don't even have that written down. That'd be number 13. Psalm 22:1, right? My God, my God, why have you forsaken? David wrote that 1,000 years before Jesus was born. This is how you'll know the Messiah. He's going to cry out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." They're going to gamble for his clothes. He's going to be buried in a rich man's grave. His feet and his hands are going to be pierced. Number 11, by his wounds I am healed. Number 12, not one of his bones will be broken. It's Exodus 12:46, Psalm 34:20. The prophecy was given when the Messiah comes and dies, not one of his bones was going to be broken. And then I said the other one I gave you was number 13. 13. Let me ask the question. So you're an agnostic? You're an agnostic? No, friend. Not anymore, you're not. Because either I'll welcome you now into the family of God, or I'll call you an unrepentant unbeliever and someone that refuses to bow the knee to Jesus Christ and call him Lord. And someone who refuses to give up their sins like atheists. As an agnostic is someone without knowledge. An atheist is someone without God. Oh, it's not you don't believe in God. It's that you are without God. You can read that in the Bible, too. That's Ephesians chapter 2. I think it's around verse 20. That's not me making that up. The only time atheist is in the Bible are those that are without God. But don't tell me you don't believe in God. His invisible attributes are clearly seen. I prefer to welcome you into the family of God. What's your decision? Where do you stand? Let's pray.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
The way you sing, the rising sun, awakening the early dawn, and we're rising up to give you praise. The way you sing, the stars and moon, see how they shine for you, and you're calling us to do the same. So we rise up with a song, and we rise up with a cry, and we're giving you our light. We will shine like stars in the universe, holding out your truth in the darkest place. The stars and moon, see how they shine for you, and you're calling us to do the same. So we rise up with a song, and we rise up with a cry, and we're giving you our life. Your holy church arise, exploding into life like a supernova's light. Set your holy church on fire. Do it, Lord. Like the sun so brightly, sending light for all to see. Let your holy church arise. Are we gonna shine?